This introductory set of six chapters constitutes what we call Karma Yoga. If any of you are wondering why it's called Karma Yoga, hopefully you've noticed that almost every other verse in chapters 3 and 4 included the word karma, somehow or other. And karma means action, activities. And we also use it to understand the consequences of those activities, a stock of reactions that are due to come in the future. So Arjun starts off this wonderful dialogue by describing why he shouldn't go ahead with the mission. After great labor, after great struggle, they're finally assembled in the battlefield. And Arjun is waiting, Krishna is waiting. They want the battle to begin, but Arjun changes his mind. He has doubts. And as Sutapa Prabhu explained, these doubts are what stop us moving forward. But thankfully there is someone there to clarify those doubts, and that is Sri Krishna. The reasons Arjun gives are actually quite astounding. They're very honorable reasons. Why should we enjoy something when it comes at the cost of dharma? Why should our family traditions be destroyed just for the sake of little enjoyment? Why should we enjoy that which is attained due to the blood spilt by our gurus? Rudira pradiktan. When that blood is spilt, what benefit is there from whatever we gain? If only such thoughts were part of the consciousness of those creating war in today's world. Arjun is an ideal warrior. His job is to fight. Yet he knows clearly the consequences of that fight. And so although his arguments are substantial, they lack an understanding of a very key principle. And so Krishna reveals to Arjun. He has to do it in multiple stages, because Arjun doesn't simply accept what is said. Chapter 2 of the Gita is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. And it is said that Krishna intended to stop speaking the Gita at that point. But Arjun had a question. He said, but how can I do this? How can I do that? And this is the nature of a transcendental dialogue. It is not a dialogue where information is given and the person is left to their own devices. Rather, there is an attempt, a chance for one to question, for one to question the instructions, for one to understand deeply the instructions. And Krishna goes through a very painstaking process to teach Arjun step by step the basis of spiritual life. And the fundamental concept within this section is work. Work is something that everyone does. Arjun is trying to avoid work under the guise of renunciation. But Krishna explains that one has to work, but there is a great difference between those who work in devotion, the work performed by transcendentalists, versus the work performed by karmis. And that difference takes up pretty much the entirety of those six chapters. Action in inaction. And one who knows the difference of the two, the difference between the two, actually sees things as they are. So Krishna very clearly explains that work, when it is done in clear consciousness of me, without a desire and proprietorship for the results, that accrues no karma. However, that work, those activities which are conducted for the sake of one's own sense gratification, that type of work entraps us. And whether it is traigunya vishayaveda, whether it is of the three qualities, goodness, passion or ignorance, it still entraps. So Krishna really sets the scene how one can be renounced without actually renouncing externally. And so the entire science of sannyas yoga was described. And Krishna repeats the message several times during this section. And eventually he explains to Arjun, as we just heard, the process of meditation, the process of dhyana yoga. And Arjun goes on in the next section to ask his questions, his doubts about that process. So it is a very interesting basis. It is, of course, the top layer of the sandwich. The sandwich of the Bhagavad Gita consists of a bun, a filling, and another bun at the bottom. And we've just bitten through the first bun. So the filling and the final layer is still to come. Hare Krishna.